The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to the Cave. Football wins. We got it rolling here on this beautiful Tuesday, week six of college football camp. We got 13 undefeated teams. We actually got a pair of games where we have undefeated teams playing each other. We'll get into some National Football League stuff. My Cincinnati Bengals just absolutely are horrible. I was going to throw the question out. We'll do it right off the top here. Which fan base is more disappointed, Case Kiefer, the Cincinnati Bengals or the Baltimore Ravens fan base as of right now, based on the injuries we've got right now? It's unbelievable, both those teams. And, of course, I didn't realize at least Joe's been to a Super Bowl. Jamar is not. Lamar is not, which is crazy.
Yeah, man, that's a pretty much a photo finish. I mean, the Bengals, I think, have the bigger injury just because I think Lamar might be out a little bit, but it sounds like it would all, if I had to speculate, it's only going to be a few weeks. Obviously, Burrow's not going to be able to come back till December, but you look at just the total list of injuries, and I think it's Baltimore pretty clearly. I mean, it's like 14 of their top 15 players, it feels like, or something, are hurt. So Cincinnati probably has the biggest one just because of how long Burrow's going to be out. But man, Baltimore's just got killed right now. I still think that they're good enough and their roster quality is so good that they'll be able to weather it. It sounds like none of these guys are super long term. So maybe in that regard, it's probably the Bengals, and then it feels like the season's falling apart. But it's a really good question. I feel like you could make a case both ways.
The Bengals are pretty much done. I can't believe it. They win their first two games of the year for the first time in forever, and now they're 2-2, and they'll be 2-13 before the end of the season, the way that offense looks right now. He is Case Kiefer, chief editor of the Las Vegas Sun. Right below me is Kip Kiefer, executive director of the Birmingham Racecourse Casino. He's been calling races, playing games for his entire life. Even his father got into it quite a bit. And of course, Kai Gregory's got his Red Sox shirt on. You know which way he leans. They've got a baseball game later on this afternoon. He has played both sides of the handicapping thing, not for entertainment purposes only, but to wipe his man out and make cash every single week, which is what we do here at K4 Wins. First of all, how did we do on our numbers last week, Kai?
Last week was not our greatest week. We ended up even 11-11-1 on the week. I kind of feel like every prediction that I put in there lost, so I brought us down big time. But, yesterday we were 6-1, hit a triple play. With Miami over their 23.5 team total, and a double play with Denver over 13.5 in the first half. So we're still 8-22-441 year to date. And college football, we are 50-18 year to date. Nice. So not too shabby.
No, not at all.
One of those games, I'm not sure if we had it up, but I've had a ton of my friends had the Alabama game over team total 26, and they're sitting there at 24 banging my phone up. I told you to play the over, and I said, yeah, you're right. I should have played the over, and I didn't. The next thing you know, they're putting a goose egg up in the second half, and they don't get it done. College football, but today I want to start with Major League Baseball. Let's get into it. We got the playoffs coming up here. Detroit, Cleveland, San Diego, Chicago, Boston, New York, Yankees. How good is that to be playing the wild cards right off the bat? And, of course, Cincinnati and the L.A. Dodgers later on tonight, Toronto, Seattle, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia, all with the buys going on. They'll be playing in a few days. Let's start with my Cincinnati Reds. I cannot believe they're in the playoffs case. I'm seeing plus 220 for the series. Everyone says that if you're going to go with a team like Cincinnati, you want to go that short series. They got Green going tonight. And of course, the guy just threw a one-hitter a couple of weeks ago, and he's catching 170 on the road later on tonight. Anyway, my Reds can get 2 out of 3 against L.A.
I mean, anything can happen in the baseball playoffs. It's such wild variance. It's so ridiculous. We play all year 162 games, and then it comes down to just basically who gets hot at the right time. So I wouldn't rule them out by any means. I will say the Dodgers took even some more money overnight. I'm looking at Circa now. The Dodgers are almost a minus 300 favorite. I definitely wouldn't lay that. I would be pretty surprised if the Dodgers didn't win the series. Just I think it's kind of gone under the radar somehow, being the Dodgers, just how dominant, now that everyone's healthy, their starting pitchers have just been like leaps and bounds the best in baseball towards the end of the season. Now everyone says, well, they don't have the bullpen. The bullpen is going to blow it. Bullpens are something to me that are just do not, as far as being predictive, I know we overreact to it. It does not mean a whole lot in the postseason because the rotations are going to completely change. The Dodgers have like 8 starting pitchers. They're going to throw these guys in the bullpen now. I don't really care that guys like, who's really struggling for them, Tanner Scott, Blake Treinen. I mean, now they're going to have Roky Sasaki out of the bullpen. They're going to have Glasnow out of the bullpen. The Dodgers pitching just sets up amazingly here for me. All that being said, I'm waxing poetic about the Dodgers. I did bet a little bit of Cincinnati plus 180 today. I don't expect them to win, but I just made it around like 155. I mean, I think Green's been incredible. I think this should be a low scoring game. You know, maybe even if Cincinnati wins, I'd be tempted to jump back in with the Dodgers. You're going to probably get them about a pick 'em to win the next two games. So, I'm happy for you, Tony, not to burst your bubble, but I think it's probably priced about right. I would think the Dodgers win the series, but I do think the Reds have a pretty good chance today. And hey, if you get the first one, who knows what's going to happen.
Scott, they got to get the first one. I think they got Lytle going on tomorrow. And, of course, the fact that Kershaw is probably not going to be pitching this series certainly helps.
Didn't even put him on the roster, which is unbelievable.
Despite that he's 63 years old and still throwing guns out, he's just fantastic. But, yeah, the fact my Reds are actually in a series, and, of course, they haven't won a playoff series in 30 years since 1995. Barry Larkin, who I went to school with, his brother Byron, who played basketball there at Xavier University. That's how long it's been since they've won anything in Major League Baseball. Boston, New York. Always a great series. One of those things where it's like Duke and North Carolina. You always have to watch whenever the Bo Sox and the New York Yankees. The Yankees, it's been a kind of a tale of two seasons. By the way, you're talking about bullpens, by the way, since September 10th, Cincinnati's got the best bullpen numbers in the major leagues, which I cannot believe. I'm saying that because I'll never be able to say that again. Cincinnati's bullpen always sucks, and they've been playing lights out in Cincinnati. Now they can't find their bats. Let's go back to Yankees and Bo Sox. You're wearing the Bo Sox shirt, and I'm assuming that you think they're going to win this three-game series against your Yanks.
No, I do not think they're going to win the series. I will tell you the Dodgers won 5 out of 6. The Dodgers won 5 out of 6 in Cincinnati and outscored them 30-15. You've got Blake Snell going today for the Dodgers. The Reds have a losing record against lefty pitchers. I took the Dodgers in the series minus 1.5 games. I think they sweep them up. Yeah, today is your best bet, but if that doesn't happen, we'll go from there. Crochet's 3-0 versus the Skankies this year in 4 starts. Max Fried was 1-1. I think you've got the two favorites for the Cy Young right there. Not sure who's going to get the Cy Young between them. Boston did lead the series this year 9-4 and was 5-2 at Yankee Stadium. All of their wins, Roman Anthony played. Now Giolito being out for the wild card. Those are two huge losses. I hate it. Now, don't get me wrong. I bet with my wallet, not my heart. If I was betting my heart, I'd be even more broke than I am. But, no, I think the Yankees win, and they probably – if the Red Sox don't get it today with Crochet pitching, who, you know, I love, who also went to Tennessee, just for the record, as a pitcher. I know he went somewhere else, but Tennessee pitcher. The under 3.5 first five might be the way to go today.
Kip, I know that you're a Braves fan. Your Braves obviously not playing in the postseason, but you are a huge Major League Baseball fan. It's a good time of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, and this format has lent itself to some kind of chaos in the opening rounds. So I think right now that there are three big series favorites. Of course, the prohibitive favorites are the Dodgers and the Yankees. I just get the feeling that it's not going to be as cut and dried as everybody thinks. I would not be shocked to see one of those major monolith foundational teams run into a little bit of bad luck in the first round. And I guess the other big favorite, I haven't seen the current number, but initially they made, of course, in the Guardians and the Guardians and the Tigers series, the Tigers, a bigger favorite than I would have expected. What did these teams play 15 times down the stretch? It seems like they played all the time and the series was pretty much divided. I think maybe Cleveland had a slight edge, but you know,
8-5 Cleveland.
Okay. Yeah. So I just look at what are the Tigers for the series? Is it still pretty prohibitive?
I bet Tigers minus 112. It's basically pick 'em. I think it's more like minus 120.
Okay. Okay.
Now.
I saw a number bigger than that yesterday. So I guess that was wrong, but yeah. So I guess that's only the other two series are the ones that maybe there's going to be chaos. Cause I don't know. I know it's Scooble's the best pitcher in the series, but I don't know how Cleveland's been winning games, but they have been. So I think that's going to be competitive. And I think Padres Cubs is up for grabs. I actually would give the Padres a slight edge. I know Horton, the Cubs, really strong rookie pitcher, is not 100%. I don't even know if he's going to pitch in the series. That's a big loss if he's not available. And I just think the Padres and the Cubs both had periods where they were outstanding this year, but they both had kind of sketchy stretches too. So I think all these series are real competitive, but I'll go ahead and go out on that big limb and say either the Dodgers or Yankees will go down, because it's just not as cut and dried as that. They played in the series previously, and I just get the feeling that one of them is going to be a casualty.
I'm not a bookie, but my house almost looked like Kai Gregory's for about 6 or 7 hours on Saturday. I had the Cincinnati Reds on one TV. I had Alabama and Georgia on another TV. And we had 5 televisions in my living room. My son came in town. It was fantastic. It was great stuff. It was fun. All right, so before we wrap it up and get into some college football, Case, based on the numbers you're seeing for, of course, the series, give me some plays. You just heard that you like Detroit minus the 112 for the series. And then go some futures on a World Series. Who do you got there, so we can get these out of the way here before we knock out some college football?
Yeah, I mean, this is the first season I can remember I didn't add any futures in season. I bet 4 teams to win the World Series coming into the year. I've already lost one of them. The Rangers obviously didn't get it done. But I have the Dodgers, Mariners, and Red Sox. So I'm riding with that. I love the Mariners right now. I think they have everything you need. And I love that they get the Tigers Guardians winner instead of the AL East war up there. Yeah. I feel like you could talk me into any of the AL East teams coming out. I hope Kip's right, and maybe the Yankees can lose, even though I bet them for the series kind of as a hedge. But I don't know. Just on paper, I mean, the Yankees pitchers have really been trending up with this Schittler kid, however you say his name, at the end of the year with heel back. It looks like a tough task to me for the Red Sox. Maybe I've just listened to Kai too much, because I know he's always negative about his fandom. And even earlier in the year when he was writing him off, I was still like, oh, let's see.
Kai is negative? What? Are you kidding me? Kai's negative, huh?
No, just pessimistic. What? Tony, really? Pessimistic about him.
I don't play with my heart. I play with my wallet.
I kind of have a hard time seeing the Red Sox win the series. Again, I hope I'm wrong. I bet the Yankees. I didn't bet any of these series huge, but I bet 3 of the 4 series, and I bet the Yankees a little bit, minus 175. And then I really went back and forth on the Cubs Padres. I agree, it's the most interesting. You know, my first snap reaction, we'll see if I should say my first impression, was the Padres. I feel like they might be a little bit more complete, but then you dive into it. I mean, the Cubs pitching is like the I think matches up pretty well with the Padres. I know they lost Cade Horton, and a really hidden aspect where the Cubs have a huge edge is they're the best defensive team in the National League that's in the playoff. Looks like by the metrics by a mile. So I actually bet the Padres in game one. I kind of now regret it kind of get off of it in a little way. I couldn't find value on taking the Cubs today, but I did take them for the series minus 115. So I'm kind of neutral there. We'll see what happens. But I'm rooting for a Mariners Dodgers World Series. We'll see. I think it has a pretty good chance. I don't know. The Phillies look pretty tough. If the Phillies had Zach Wheeler, they are the favorite right now, but I think they'd be the clear favorite if they wouldn't have lost Wheeler.
Go to K4Wins.com for all of our baseball plays. K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com, or at K4Winners. You can check us out on the X as well as Instagram and, of course, our Facebook page as well. College football, let's jump right into it. More than half the SEC's got bye weeks, including the Auburn Tigers. We do the show here in Birmingham, so we're going to jump right into, obviously, one of the biggest and best games for Alabama fans in a long time was the big win, of course, between the Hedges, ending a 33-game-in-a-row winning streak by the Georgia Bulldogs. Kirby Smart just can't beat Alabama, period. He's done it once, and they just can't seem to get over that hump.
And now that was for the national championship. It wasn't just a regular season.
He won it when he needed to. But what is he, 1-9 or 1-10 now against Alabama? So yeah,
he's only 1-7. Yeah.
1-7. Pardon me.
Sounds like an Alabama fan, upping all of their wins and their totals and everything the way.
Well, sure. Yeah. Well, sure. Well, let's see what happens this weekend. Is they give up 10.5 against an undefeated Diego Pavia, 5-0 for only the second time in 80 years. Vanderbilt, can they beat Alabama 2 years in a row, Kip Kiefer?
Guys, who would have thought the matchup in Tuscaloosa this week? You've got two of the top five favorites for the Heisman Trophy squared off at quarterback, Diego Pavia and Ty Simpson. Who had that on their bingo card to start the year? My goodness. I think last year, the euphoria of coming back and winning that big game against Georgia in Tuscaloosa snuck up and bit them because they had to go to Nashville. Nick Saban said on College Game Day that, you know, the SEC is tough wherever you play on the road. Well, except maybe Vanderbilt. That rat poison distributed by Nick Saban bit him in the ass last year because Vanderbilt, of course, pulled the big upset. I think this win probably was more triumphant for Alabama because they pulled off the feat on the road. And so they might be full of themselves and really high as a kite. But I don't think Vanderbilt's going to sneak up on them again. I think this game's circled on the calendar, never again. I know Vandy's been rolling along and really piling up the statistics and the points, and you got to give Clark Lee and his staff and the whole team, man, they're taking care of business and look great. But this is a different animal going into Bryant-Denny. I think Vanderbilt is competitive in this game. 10.5 is probably about the right number. I'm interested to hear what number Case came up with in his calculations, but I don't think Vanderbilt's not going to sneak up and get Alabama in this euphoric state again. I don't see this game being, you know, right down to the wire kind of drama. College Game Day is there. It's only the second time ever that College Game Day has been at a Vanderbilt game. The first time was in Nashville. So this is big stuff for the Commodores, but I don't think they're up. I think as much as I admire what they've done, I don't think they win this game. And I think Alabama probably covers it, wins it by a couple touchdowns.
Hey, before we get into Case's numbers, I got to ask, who in the hell has these odds for the Heisman? I mean, I have a full page here of just Heisman odds. How is Jeremiah Love plus 3,500? How in the world are 14 people ranked higher than him or have better odds? Did anybody watch what this guy has been doing?
Yeah, that's crazy. I would have thought he'd been in the top three now.
I would think way higher. I mean, Mateer still has the second best odds, I think at plus 900. Moore's a favorite at plus 650. But, I mean, you've got Moore, Beck, Jeremiah Smith, Ty Simpson, Mendoza, Salen, Stockton, Reed, Aguilar, King, Maiva, Nussmeyer, all these guys higher and with lower odds, I'm sorry, than Jeremiah Love.
How is Nussmeyer doing? Nussmeyer has been a big disappointment. I know he's hurt or whatever, but how's he still even in the hunt?
Yeah, but if you like Jeremiah Love, you got to get on him now because they play no one over the next 8 or 9 weeks, and I'm including USC, and they're incredibly awful defense with that. He is going to pad the hell out of his stats, and by the time we get to November when it matters, I guarantee you his odds are going to be under 10-1, and you can get him at 35-1 right now.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, jump on it. Kip, you were mentioning go ahead.
I love talking about awards markets. So Kai kind of set me up on the tee there. Sorry to derail us. But I mean, I love hearing it because I was on Love. I think I gave him out our last show. I said I bet two, our last show before the season. I said I bet two last guys, Mateer and Love. I think I got Love at 50-1. I think the concern is, and maybe there shouldn't be a concern now if they do what Kai said, let him pile up the stats. But I think with Price there, the concern was that he wasn't going to have the chance for those gaudy numbers. They really conserved him for the first few weeks. They didn't give him a ton of carries. I think he can get back in it if they just keep feeding him. I'm still a little bit worried about that, but I'm glad to see that he's gotten some positive momentum. I meant to mention this on last week's show. I don't know how we got derailed, but you guys somehow got me just ranting about how much I love Trinidad Chambliss. And while we were on the show, I started scrolling around for odds. I bet him on the show last week 80-1 to win the Heisman.
Oh, wow.
The odds I'm looking at right now, the kid's down to 15-1. So I don't know. I'm going to have to send you guys a gift. That's
being cast on the show. How about that?
Yeah, I think Tony asking me about him is literally the only reason why I started looking, because I really thought he had that upside.
Well, it's got to be good. If you're on Jeremiah Love, it's got to be good that two of his touchdowns in the Arkansas slaughter were catching the football. So Notre Dame starts getting him involved in the passing game, that's another great you know, supporting factor for Kai's get on the love train right now.
Yeah, and I don't want to get too excited about this. I still think it probably doesn't happen, but there's been some rumors that Mateer could be back as early as next week. That,
wow.
It's not unprecedented that you play through this hand thing. So I don't think it's going to happen, but that's why I'm not scratching it off quite yet and calling it dead, because if he has this publicized injury when he's the favorite, then if he somehow comes back and beats Texas, I think he'd be right back on top of the board. We'll see. I don't think it's a 0% chance.
Because, you know, Ole Miss in just 2 weeks goes to Georgia. So, that's Ole Miss. I'm talking about Mateer. I asked the question about Mateer because I was thinking about Shambliss when you said that. But Mateer, I was going to ask, when is he going to be back and how severe was that injury? So as early as next week, that's shocking.
I think most people still say it's a month. It's supposed to be 4 weeks, but it's not unprecedented that if everything went perfectly, he could be back sooner than we think.
Wow.
Bye week happens really good for Oklahoma for that injury. You were mentioning last week, Kip, you know, wondering why Alabama Georgia wasn't College Game Day. Maybe they were thinking it was going to be Vandy Alabama this following week and we're going to go back to back. I know a lot of people obviously down in the Florida area were disappointed by that as well. Speaking of the devil, Miami and FSU, a very interesting -4.5 line here. Of course, this used to be, when I first came to town in 1988, man, they used to play each other early in the season, and this was the game that set the season up. If you won this game, you had the inside track to win a national title. If you didn't, that's back in the UPI days, man. You lost this game, you were done. And now all of a sudden, FSU coming off a very interesting game this past week. Case, I'll start with you. The Miami Hurricanes, 7.5, it opened up now to 4.5. All the money's going on FSU.
Wide right.
I mean, this is kind of the flip side of, you know, some Heisman things I'm excited about to not to feeling a little bit down on. I don't know if you followed, but Carson Beck, the Florida game, he just wouldn't throw downfield at all. There was some tracking of his velocity. It's way down. So there's kind of some rumblings that maybe he's his elbows flared back up and it's not right. That's really the only thing I'm scared about here. I really feel like Miami should have Florida State covered everywhere. Again, I mean, we've seen Florida State jump out, and obviously what they did week one was great. But I think we forget, like, Castellanos was benched last year at Boston College. He's not a guy who's going to, like, throw you. And I know they have a good running game. But, I mean, Miami looks like the best team in the trenches in the nation just without a question. I think they probably have 4 first-round guys between the offensive and defensive line. I mean, Bain has played himself into where he's probably going to be a top-5 pick. So on paper, I really think Miami should have an edge just about everywhere here, but I'm worried about Beck's arm. If he's not 100%, that scares me. This is not a game I've bet. And just with that concern, I mean, I think I made it 3.5. I think it's still more than 3.5. So I would be a slight lean to Florida State, but I've been Mr. Miami all year. And I think people are just sleeping on how talented this team is. I just got to hope that Beck's okay.
No, the chain's going to be out there. Kai, you got any thoughts on this particular ball game? You're a big Florida guy.
You know, I would just kind of sit back on this one. I want to see where the line ends up. I tell you what, I'm going to go backwards and come back to this. I hammered Alabama at 10 and actually bought it to 9.5 and hammered over 56, which is probably one of the biggest sucker bets out there, because both of these teams can score a ton of points. But if I could still get under, you know, if I could get the over at 55.5, I still would. I think it's up at 56.5 and even 57 in some places in that game.
By the way, I saw an interesting number this morning. Vanderbilt is – there's only 5 other teams in college football that snap the ball slower than Vanderbilt does. They play the most slowest game of college football. Now, their numbers obviously look good. They made some huge, super big plays. But a lot of people are laying the under this game because they're going to want to slow this ball game down. And Alabama's not running that Nick Saban hurry-up offense like they used to either.
I like Alabama over their team total. I'm going to be interested to see what it is, because if this is a 56.5-point game – and you've got a 10-point favorite, then, it, you know, is Alabama's – what is their team total going to be? Probably 31, 31.5. So, you know, that would be something to look at and interest me. And if it gets up above 35, you know, maybe you don't do it. But, you know, Miami has the number – I'm flipping back on you. Miami's got the number 9 defense in the country, scoring defense. And like you said, Castellanos was benched at Boston College. He had an okay game at Virginia. He has not had his bad game yet. It's going to come. Now, I don't know that it's going to come against Miami, but if it comes against Miami, they may lose by 17-21. And then you always have the curse of the wide right for one of these teams to see, you know, back in the 90s.
Miami, by the way,
years ago too. I think there was a game like Miami, maybe 10 years ago with that too.
Miami has only given up 46 points in four ball games, and five of their last seven losses during the regular season were on the road. So this is something to think about when they go to FSU this weekend. Other games, looking around here, and we always talk about the public money, and Kip and I were doing a show yesterday. We were talking about this. So I'm walking into a casino. I have never made a bet in my life. I don't follow football. I don't know anything about football. And I see Texas preseason number one in the country. They've got the Heisman Trophy guy, and obviously he has not come to fruition as of yet, but they're sitting there 3-1, and they're playing a 1-3 Florida squad, and they're only giving up 6.5. Can someone please explain it to me, Kip?
Texas sucks. Have you watched any of the games? Texas was impotent at Ohio State. They only lost by 7, but if Ohio State had been a little bit more fine tuned for that game, it shouldn't have been that close. Texas sucks. But Texas, look at their three. I mean, so, you know, I, you guys know how much this drives me crazy. I've been trying to restrain myself not to say it this week, but I'm going to unleash it right away. They went home to Austin and played three of the worst teams you could possibly round up, and they weren't even impressive. Now they go on the road to the Swamp, which is, you know, inhabited by a Florida team that everybody was so high on coming into the year. There were predictions that they were going to be a playoff team and everything else. Yeah, it's been a catastrophe. They're 1-3. Lagway didn't get to practice all spring or even in the fall camp because of various injuries. He's been rusty, hasn't looked very good. They put so much emphasis on him, but they've gotten away from running the ball with Jaden Ball. No team in America needed a bye week more than the Florida Gators, coming off the losses to South Florida, LSU, and Miami. But the Miami game, they were pretty damn competitive. And Case mentioned Miami seemed to the whole game plan seemed to be kind of puzzling. So maybe there is something to Carson Beck's repaired elbow. Might be something that's looming here. But the fact of the matter is that Florida, if they get a measurement in the fourth quarter with 6 minutes left in the game, the score was 13-7. They would have had the first down on the 29-yard line with a chance to go in and take the lead. Texas going into the Swamp against Florida, who had a week off to regroup and get ready. I just think this is Florida's last stand game. And I just haven't seen enough from Texas to think that, you know, even them being a touchdown favorite, I think is a stretch. I have Florida winning this game outright.
This is, whoever loses this game, it's going to be a disappointing season. I mean, if Texas loses their 3-2 and their preseason number they're finished. Well, they're done now, really, at 1-3. Well,
they're done Case for playoffs, but they're no, done for. No. I mean, they're not going to have a winning season if they don't win this home game.
Think about that.
Yeah. This would be crazy if you told me in June or July I felt like I was higher on Florida than everyone. Now I've bet on them three straight weeks because I think the market, I don't know what they see. I mean, they took a ton of steam against Miami at the end of the game. Really underlying numbers, Miami kicked their, I mean, I know it got close for a while, but Miami really, it was pretty dominant in that game. Obviously the LSU game had the interception debacle. They probably should have covered there. I mean, I just thought this was a clear 7.5 to get it down to 6.5. I have to buy on Texas. Now, I think one of my strengths is knowing when to buy and sell. And I was a seller on Texas going into the year. I was against them against Ohio State. I just feel like now we've gone way overboard with their struggles. That Ohio State game, I called it up right when we were talking about it. Texas outgained them 5.2 yards per play to 3.7 yards per play. All we hear about is how Ohio State's so great, the best team in the nation. Literally, Texas got stopped at the 1 yard line and Ohio State punched theirs in at the 1 yard line. You flip those two plays, Texas is undefeated. We're talking about how their offense is underwhelming and Arch Manning isn't always cracked up to you. If they're still undefeated, they'd be the number one team in the country if you flip one game. I just think defensively, I haven't seen anything to make me worried about Texas. I think we're so concerned with how bad their offense has been, and yes, it has been bad, that I think we kind of lose sight of defensively, they still have the highest talent index, the most guys playing in the NFL on defense. So I know there's some issues there, but I can't believe they're then maybe I'm wrong. Clearly someone a lot smarter than me with a lot more money is betting on Florida every week. But I just look at these two teams and don't see how it can be less than a touchdown. Even if it gets back to 7, I would pass. But at 6.5, I had to buy on Texas. I guess I've just totally changed my tune on Florida. And I think the Texas problems at this point are a little bit overhyped. So not one of my bigger bets, but I am actually opposite, and I'm on Texas this week.
Speaking of Texas teams, I want to throw this out and you guys can hop on it. Now we're going to do something a little different here. I'm going to let you guys kind of grind the horn. But Texas Tech and Houston, a pair of 4-0 teams going into week 6 of college football. Texas Tech has given up 1.5 on the road there. And then Mississippi State, Mike Leach's old team, 4-1, going to undefeated A&M 4-0. And Kip, I know you've been on A&M all year long. They're giving up 14 to Starkville boys in that particular ball game. Any thoughts on those two games, Kip?
Yeah, Texas A&M did not play very well against Auburn. Again, I think Auburn's roster is everything that we heard, preseason hype that Auburn had loaded up and had the team finally the roster that could compete. But unfortunately, they don't have the coaching staff that can compete. I've heard from several sources pretty close to things down on the plains that the drums are beating. The discontent for Hugh Freeze and his excuses every week. What a pathetic performance last week at Texas A&M, 177 total yards. The offensive line continues to be a dumpster fire, 7 more sacks, countless penalties, mistakes. The team's just not well coached, and this staff doesn't seem to have any answers. With all that being said, A&M still just kind of gutted out a game where they didn't play very well after their big win at Notre Dame. This game, you know, Mississippi State has been fattening up. This is the first time they've left the state of Mississippi. So going into that environment, we're going to really see what Jeff Lebby's team is made of. They a gallant effort against Tennessee. Who would have thought that, two defensive touchdowns for the Volunteers in that game is what did Mississippi State in, and Aguilar leading a late drive to tie that game. So a heartbreaker for the Bullies, a game I thought they really needed to get before going out on the road in the SEC. 14.5, the A&M offense doesn't look that potent to me, so I'm a little leery of that number. I don't think A&M has a problem, but I've got them winning more in the 10 point range, perhaps, because you got to respect Mississippi State's major upgrade in talent and the progress Jeff Lebby's making. But this is a tough assignment going on the road in this game. What was the other game? I'm sorry, I waxed poetic on that one.
Texas Tech and Houston.
Yeah, it's at Houston.
That line's wrong, Tony. It's not 1.5. It's 11.5.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, if it's 1.5, I'm on Texas Tech.
My apologies. Yes.
Yeah. I thought it was 9 or 10. So it's actually 11.5. I think that might be a little bit getting carried away. I think Houston at home can hang in there. They've got the ex Texas A&M quarterback, Wagon at the controls, and you know Houston's been just pretty solid. They haven't really done anything spectacular, but yeah, more than 10 at home, give me the Cougars there. I think A&M is the best team in the Big 12, but I don't like them on the road as that big a favorite against a team that hadn't lost yet, and it's not that bad.
Case, you're nodding your head a lot.
Yeah, I love that you asked about these two games. I'm really not excited about this college football card, but you're asking about good games, Tony. I love both of these two, and I know it's going to be surprising to some that have listened to me all year, but I agree with everything Kip said on basically both of them.
Life is complete.
I really like Houston getting 12.5. I feel like it, or maybe it's down to, even if it's down to 11.5, I think Kai said, I hadn't seen the line this morning. I think that their stock's a little bit down after they played horribly at Oregon State. They had to win in overtime.
Yeah.
I'm really high on this team. I mean, Wegman looks like a different guy. I know he was hurt throughout his SEC tenure. He can kind of do everything. And I actually think there's like the biggest coaching disparity of the week on track here. Now, I shouldn't be trashing Joey McGuire because I don't think he's done anything wrong this year. I mean, they've won every game by 40 points, but I just think so much more highly of Willie Fritz. I think he's a great play caller.
Really good coach.
Doesn't make any mistakes in games. So I really like Houston's advantage on the sideline. And this is like their biggest home game. And how many, I mean, for maybe forever. They were in an Empower conference before. I just feel like it is going to be absolutely rocking there. And I don't know. I mean, Texas Tech is beaten up everywhere too. I know they have, you know, blue chip players everywhere, so they could probably reload. But, you know, even hurt at quarterback now, Baron Morton, I don't know if he's going to play, but he got hurt in the second half against Utah. I will say the backup kid, I think Hammond or whatever his name, he came in and looked just as good. Some Texas Tech fans are saying he should start either way, but I don't know. Morton kind of have more of a body of work. If he's not playing, I'd be worried, and I haven't heard any updates on his status. So there's a lot of things pointing me towards Houston here. I actually, it's funny. I think you guys took it that I meant you should be surprised. I was agreeing with Kip because we disagreed on the text game. But actually, what I was saying you should be surprised about is I've loved this Mississippi State team. It hurts my heart, but this is the week I'm selling on them. Kip nailed it. They played five games at home. Now going to Texas A&M. I mean, I think I wrote this in my column today. I hate when I'm always just rehashing the same points, but I think if there was the most misleading score of last week's slate was Texas A&M only winning by what, six against Auburn or what? I bet Auburn. I'm happy to have won, but Auburn did absolutely nothing on offense. I mean, literally could not move the ball. Again, I just too bad they couldn't find a quarterback.
0 for 13 on third down. Ouch. I mean,
yeah, the underlying metrics, Texas A&M should have won by like three touchdowns, not 6 points. So I feel like you're kind of getting Texas A&M undervalued, and this is a really tough first road game at Kyle Field. You guys have been higher on A&M than me, you know, all offseason, and I'm starting to think you're kind of right. I agree. I'm concerned. I don't think they're going to like win the national championship or even make the semifinals. I don't think their offense is that level, but I feel like they kind of are in that top tier. And as much as I love Mississippi State, I think they're still kind of in the middle. I feel like this is a spot where Texas A&M could really stomp them.
Kyle, only because there's a huge disparity in the like of James Franklin, but can you please tell me what happened at the end of that Penn State-Oregon game? And what is he now? Is it 4-21 against top 10 teams?
Yes, James Franklin is now. That's the record. Yep.
I don't know where I had to bring that up because I know that a lot of people on this show would decide whether we think he's a great coach or not. But 4-21 against top 10 teams, and they had no offense at all until that fourth quarter. And if you're a Penn State fan and you felt like you just – that's the one thing about overtimes I absolutely hate and I love, because 1 second you're winning the game and you feel like you've almost got it wrapped up, and like 3 minutes later you're down seven and you have a 4th and 2 from the 5. It's unbelievable. But what do you think about James Franklin's coaching in that game, Makai?
I think he's big game James, and he played a team that was better than him and he lost. I mean, he that's what he does. He loses even if he's favored. I really thought that Oregon did not play their best game. Neither did Penn State, but Aller, you know, was exactly what we thought he was going to be in the end. And his team needed him the most, what'd he do? Threw an interception. Yeah, Franklin's 1-15 versus top 5, 4-21 top 10, 15-30 top 25, and 4-7 versus 4-17 versus Michigan and Ohio State. That meme I sent y'all. But I will say this: I got to go backwards for a second. Jeff Levy, who's been crying all week how they gave Tennessee the game. I guess he didn't see Joey Aguilar throw high the entire game. Tennessee muff a punt and Aguilar throw two picks also. Which
it wasn't a pretty game.
We learned led to 14 points, but, you know, whatever. I like Mississippi State plus the 14.5. It may be a backdoor cover. If it gets under 14, I wouldn't play it, but I do like them. And I like this Texas Tech team. I'm not sure at 11.5. Now, if it was 1.5, like you said,
I forgot to put a one there, man. I forgot to put a one there. Yeah.
I'd been going for a Hilo loan, you know, to go out there and try to take Texas Tech minus 1.5.
You know, it's interesting. Go ahead.
I was just going to throw out, I bet, to be clear, I bet Texas A&M minus 13. I still am fine with 14. At 14.5, I would pump the brakes a little bit. I still see plenty of 14s out there, though. So 14.5 is kind of a semi-key number in a game that's going to have this much scoring. So I love Texas A&M 13. But
I do think that James Franklin gets it right this weekend against UCLA. I think he will run it up as much as he possibly can. Yeah, they're minus 24.5, so I think that's going to be an interesting game. And I love to see teams that obviously lose disappointing games and how they bounce back. I'm going to do something. We pick games. Obviously, we've been through a lot of the games. Any other games, Kyle, I'll start with you, that just kind of glare at you that we have not talked about? We got Kentucky, Georgia, which is entering, Iowa State, Cincinnati. Iowa State still undefeated. Clemson giving up 14 to North Carolina. I just had to talk about the game because it's an absolute turn. I cannot believe that they're only giving up 14. It really is ugly. Army UAB. UAB catching 7 points. If they win that ball game, they may get over their 4.5 wins. They're at 2 already. Virginia Louisville, which is really interesting. I want to see how the Cavaliers bounce back after that huge victory this has past week. Now they have to go on the road to Papa John Stadium in Louisville. And of course, so we also got another. It is amazing. Every time I look up, Notre Dame is playing someone tough, despite the fact they're giving up 20.5 to Boise State. What are the games, Kai, are kind of sticking out to you?
I do like that Notre Dame line. I got it at 19.5 early. Something that nobody's talking about this year, and I realize they haven't beat anybody, but Friday night at 6 o'clock, the Western Kentucky-Delaware game, I think it's going to be a very good game. Delaware is giving up 2.5 at home. And if you look at one of those games, that line to me, the way Western Kentucky has been playing, I don't know. I want to bet Delaware so bad because nobody knows who the hell I'm talking about. But they've all heard of Western Kentucky and the Hilltoppers. That game has kind of stuck out to me. And the Air Force Navy game, it opened at 10. Navy's already been bought up to 11.5 against Air Force. And then Kentucky and Georgia. Georgia opened at 19. It's already up to 20.5 against Kentucky. And I think Georgia looks to bounce back. But that's that 11 o'clock Georgia kickoff that I've always talked about where Georgia starts, and they have started slow in each of their games this year.
You think? This coaching staff needs to pull their head out of their proverbial you-know-what, because I think they've gotten complacent. They have been so out-schemed and so out-prepared for both of their games this year. Both those teams had great plans, Tennessee and Alabama, executed it perfectly, and Georgia was one step behind for all the early drives in that game. Teams are working harder to get ready for them than the reverse. I think Kirby's got a coordinator problem. Mike Bobo, he's been embattled for a long time. But on the defensive end, Glenn Schumann is a great up and coming coach. He's a young guy who wants to be a head coach. Nick Saban would not put him in he took him out off the field and put him in an administrative role. So he bolted to Georgia with Kirby. And, they had a lot of success naming him co-defensive coordinator. His first 2 years with Georgia, he was teamed with Dan Lanning as the co-coordinator. Dan Lanning's gone on to be kind of a successful guy. And the next 2 years with Will Muschamp, who you can say what you will about his head coaching tenure, but as a defensive coordinator, it's arguable that Will Muschamp is one of the best of this generation of coaches. This is the second year that Schumann's been on his own, and the Georgia defense has not been the same. So Kirby's going to have to maybe get back to coaching up the defense a little bit more because, there's just something not right about that. The team was just a step behind. And then they did shut out, I know, to the chagrin of some people listening to this, but they did shut out Alabama in the second half, so they get it together. But they better start getting prepared for games to start in the first quarter because these two performances have just killed them. They lived to tell the tale in Knoxville, but not this past week. So just a little interesting Georgia perspective there.
Case, why I love the Wyoming game. That's one that's sticking out to me. It's 3.5. If it was under, and you talked about how hard it is to play at Wyoming a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, is it down to 3.5? I haven't seen. This is one. I'm glad you got it. I have so many thoughts on all these games we talked about, but I'm glad you have one more bet out of me. I bet Wyoming +5 yesterday. I'd probably still be fine with 3.5. I wouldn't go to 3. I mean, UNLV looks – I know they're undefeated and they're getting some attention, but, man, they look pretty sketchy. They beat an FCS team. Their big win is holding off UCLA at the end of the game. Yeah. Next week, UCLA goes to New Mexico, and New Mexico beats them by, like, I don't remember what it was, 2
31 to 10 or something.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. They got really lucky at Miami of Ohio in their last game. With how tough it is to get to Laramie, the elevation there, Wyoming, and I think Wyoming's actually been better than their scores indicate underlying wise. So anything above 3, I like Wyoming there. Some of the other games we touched on, I guess Georgia is a case. I've been saying this for a year. If you've listened on here that I don't like Georgia's coordinators, it just goes to show you how much of a crapshoot some of these hirings are, because I think Kirby I think probably his biggest success, in my opinion, was he made the two best coordinator hires of the last 10 years in Dan Lanning and Todd Monken. And obviously, it's hard to get lightning to strike twice. All that being said, I mean, Alabama did nothing in the second half, as we talked about. They scored. I really think Georgia was, and this is shocking to me saying this because I was on Alabama in the game. I like Alabama's team a little bit better, but I think Georgia was the better team by underlying numbers. Now, they weren't the better team by 3.5 points, which I bet. So I still stand by my bet. But all that being said, going back to the very beginning of the show, Kip wanted to see what I made the number. And I know this won't be popular. I think all you guys disagree, but I made it Alabama -8.5 this week. I loved Vandy +13.5 at open. One of the bigger bets I bet this wow. Week. I really think Vandy is, they're way better than I ever expected. I know they haven't really played anyone, but man, they are just absolutely stomping these teams. I mean, you can see side by side the progression they've made. They lost to Georgia State last year. This Georgia State team's better this year, and they just absolutely suffocated them. They were up 30 on, of course, they didn't cover last week. I think they were up 30 on Utah State in the final minute, let out a backdoor cover. I don't expect them to win outright. I think it's too big to bite off to chew. I agree. They're not going to sneak up on Alabama, but I think double digits to me. Vandy is the side this game. And just lastly, the Penn State game. Man, how bad must Bo Pribula or whatever his name is be in practice? Because him next to Aller, he looks so much better. I can't believe they just showed him the door to keep Drew Aller. And then, but maybe it's not their fault, because if you paid attention to the training camp reports this summer, it was, wow, Pribula's been terrible. Sam Horn might be the starter.
Yeah.
The first game, and they split halves. They gave Horn half the game, Pribula half the game. I mean, Pribula, I know they've played no one, and Kip hates them. I hate Missouri too, but Pribula just looks like 10 times better than Drew Aller. That interception to lose the game. I know Aller got hot for a little bit. I think maybe I'm too swayed. Like, the NFL scouts app like love Drew Aller coming into this year. They said he has all the tools, and maybe I'm just was too swayed by that. But I've been so down on him. I think he's looked terrible. And maybe it's premature, but it looks like Penn State kept the wrong guy at quarterback.
Dude, I love Lanning, by the way. I mean, I wanted to mention that before. I can't believe it. I totally forgot that he's actually a grad assistant at Alabama back in 15 and 16. Yep. So he's actually from that group. And he just, man, after that game, if you watched him, he just was coming out of his skin with pride for his football team. And all I could think about was, man, if he was the coach at Alabama, how good would Alabama be if they had Lanning get coached there? Who knows? Maybe I'll get my wish come true. Kip, any other games that you saw? You mentioned some of the things I mentioned before, but any other games that stick out to you before we hop in the NFL?
I watched Louisiana Monroe here in Tuscaloosa a couple weeks ago lose by 73 points. They are, I mean, how abysmal must Northwestern be in everybody's estimation? Because Louisiana Monroe is only a 10.5 point underdog at Northwestern. What does that say about that team and that league? My goodness. If Northwestern can't muster an 11-point victory against that team, I don't even know what to say. So that line just kind of got my attention. You mentioned the Louisville game. This is the classic case where Virginia's going to be overbet. Well, they just beat Florida State. That was a bizarre game. The Virginia coaching staff, the head coach doesn't even know the rules. He sent them out for a 2-point conversion after the second overtime. It's not required till the third overtime. So they had to go for two when they didn't even have to, and somehow they even made it and ended up winning the game anyway. But I'm not too high on Virginia. I think Louisville is an up-and-coming power under Brohm, who we talked about before the season started. I really like Louisville in that game. That one kind of jumped off the page to me because I don't think Virginia's legitimate. Yeah, and also Memphis gets Tulsa at home. Tulsa's not too impressive. The Golden Hurricanes are not very golden. Memphis is kind of surging now. I don't know if they're a legitimate team. They did beat Arkansas, but they're 20.5, which seems like a lot, but I don't think Tulsa's going to offer much resistance. I like Memphis there.
They did change the rule, but in his defense, they changed the rule this year. You do have to go for two in the second overtime, and the third overtime is just 2-point conversions, period.
Okay.
But he did not know the rules. He admitted it afterwards.
Yeah. I don't think he knew that, but I mean, he's right. I mean, they changed that, so they, they have to. And then going into the third overtime, there's nothing, just 2-point conversions.
Yep. It's straight. It's a 2-point conversion period. Right.
Which you hate if you've got somebody minus three, or if you have an over and you need like 10 points scored going in, you're like, damn it. Both of them get it, you know, 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm.
I did want to mention too, because we do have somebody in our foursome here that's got a kid that's in the armed forces. That Army UAB game is going to be very interesting. And I only say that because Trent Dilfer obviously is coaching for his life. They're catching 7 points at home. And I will say this, I do like the under in that game for the first time all season. UAB's gone over every single game. It's 57.5. And I think that Army can keep it close. In fact, I'll win that game, but I can see another 24-20 kind of game, something like that. I don't think it's going to go over 57. Your thoughts? I know you're making your working. You're down there tattling around this, that, and the other. I don't like UAB.
They gave up 27 points.
Well, listen, Army's terrible. They're both horrible. I mean, they're both terrible. But I mean, if UAB can get a victory here, 3-2, 5 games of the season is a huge win for Trent Dilfer for this far of the season.
Absolutely, I hope for your sake they do. But for the kids at UAB, I kind of hope they don't, because they need a new coach.
Yeah. Did you see, by the way, how much shit he caught for taking pictures of a Neyland Stadium this past week? He was up there taking pictures of Neyland Stadium, and people are like, dude, what is he doing? And I'm like, he's taking pictures of Tennessee, of Neyland Stadium. He's never been into Neyland Stadium before. It's a mecca. It's a wonderful place to watch a football game. And he was taking in the moment. And then, of course, he was on his phone, I guess, about 3 minutes before kickoff. I don't know why, but for some reason, people were blowing his ass up saying he should be coaching his football team. For God's sake, he's not on his phone 3 minutes before blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude.
He was getting his back in.
Didn't he say? Jeez Louise.
If it's 30 minutes before game time, coaches are not coaching their teams. They're in their pregame mode. They're doing those things. But let's be honest, most coaches, I mean, nobody's fussing when Lane Kiffin's walking around 30 minutes before game time, on game day, talking to them on the headset. So what's the big damn deal?
You guys would know better than me, too. But didn't he say, wasn't his daughter in labor or something? And he said he was trying to send her a video. So I don't know. I felt like he said he had a cell phone that early because his daughter was in labor and he was sending her a video. I thought I saw.
Well, that's a pretty legitimate excuse.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I'm not a Trent Dilfer guy. I think it was a really bizarre hire. I think they handled it wrong, but I got to defend him in that, right? Oh, it looks like we lost Tony. I did bet UAB plus 7.5. I would have to have the half point.
I think we're, I don't
think Army's been good at all. So laying more than a touchdown on a road, I went with UAB.
Yeah.
While Tony's up in the air like that, let's get into NFL since Thursday's before that.
Screen here.
Case, either one. What y'all got on the 49ers and Rams? Rams laying 5.5 and 47 Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to monitor the injuries right now with I think that the estimated injury report yesterday, so they had to put one out. They didn't practice, but I know Brock Purdy was on it. I can't remember three other guys were on it. I did get lucky. I wish I would have bet a lot more, but I bet Rams minus 3 at open, just knowing the 49ers injury situation was bad. I didn't think it was going to be this bad. You got to monitor who's going to be available to play, because the 49ers
we're all trying to get Angel, you there? There you go.
Playing there.
Wait, everybody.
Yeah, we're still going, Tony. Keep going.
I'm open. We're good? Okay, good. I wanted to make sure everyone was back.
We're all here.
Keep going, Case.
Okay. Yeah, so I
back and forth. Let's go look at the National Football. My sister.
We already are.
So I'm on the Rams. Wish I had a lot more on it, but minus 3 right now. I'm just, the 49ers are so beaten up. But do monitor it. Maybe if you have a quick trigger finger and see that Purdy and those guys are fine. I think at this point, if there's like a 6 out there, I would maybe, if I would have bet more on the Rams, I'd be tempted to buy back at 49ers plus 6 if some of those guys are going to play.
Because the Rams are pretty fortunate, and I think we were all on the Rams on Sunday. I saw how the Colts managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. I think we all breathe a sigh of relief. The Rams are a hard team for me to forecast.
Yeah, definitely. You saw A.D. Mitchell fumble into the end zone.
Yeah.
the Colts played well enough to win that game for sure. I was on the Rams big with you. I feel like we kind of got away with one there. Obviously, they hit the what was like an 80-yard touchdown to Tutu Atwell, I think, to cover at the end of the game.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, man, the Colts have been I hate to say it, but the Colts have been awfully impressive. I was down on them coming into the year, but they were just as good as the Rams on Sunday. They host the poor Raiders this week, who now for the first time are really beaten up. With their left tackle went down and got carted off with an injury late in the game. So, man, I never thought I'd be wanting to lay a touchdown with the Colts this early in the season, but I did bet some 6.5, and even at 7. I mean, I feel like this should be 7.5 with the Raiders injury situation and how good the Colts have looked. Who knows? Daniel Jones is due to have one of these games where he throws 3 picks.
Yeah, I keep waiting Daniel for Jones that.
We all know and love, but I got to give it up to them. Through 4 weeks, they look really good
for sure. Daniel Jones, wow.
Yeah, another interesting game too, and I doubt that anyone really had the Texans and the Ravens going in to meet each other 5 weeks into the season, going 1-3 for each. And the Ravens give it a 3.5. Obviously, with Lamar Jackson's injury, that's going to be playing weird. But what kind of line movement you got on that game, Case?
Well, I mean, it was 9.5 on the look ahead last week, and I'm looking at my sheet right now. I have Houston plus 9.5 ? I wish there was no question mark there. I wish I would have bet that. Now it looks like Lamar's not going to play. I think it's down to like 3. And man, this is just a tough game to wrap your head around. Trying to figure out what's the drop to Cooper Rush. Obviously, it's so inexact. I mean, we had this conversation a couple weeks ago with the Bengals, and I thought they'd probably be okay with Jake Browning. Obviously, couldn't have been more wrong. They look terrible. Jeez. I don't know if they knew what they had there. Why aren't they like scouring the phones a little bit more, trying to get someone? I thought it's funny. There's this story.
Yeah, shotgun, dude. Oh my god, don't even get me started.
There's a story going around when my other favorite whipping boy of the NFL, Brian Callahan, was hired at Tennessee. By the way, I think he's 3-19 against the spread now.
Oh, my God.
There was a story that when he got hired, because he was just the quarterback's coach at the Bengals, that Jake Browning texted him, "Am I really that bad?" Because he only got hired because everyone said he made Jake Browning look good. So, man, can the Titans just fire him and the Bengals hire him back? Because he needs Brian Callahan.
Yes. Speaking of the devil, the Bengals are hosting the Lions and catching 10.
All Titans fans are wishing Mike Vrabel was still there.
Of course. That's got to be the worst coaching swap in NFL history.
They're wishing Henry was still there too, by the way. A couple other games. One final game I want to get into too, only because they're 3-1, a couple of interesting teams. The Bucs and the Seattle Seahawks coming in at 3-1. The Seahawks giving up 3. Kip, your thoughts on that game.
I don't know. You know, the Bucs kind of hung in with the Eagles, but that was predictable. I was kind of kicking myself for not being more pro Philadelphia. As I watched that game, you could kind of see that coming. Baker Mayfield is a dynamic player, but he's prone to his irrational moments as well. So the Bucs are always kind of a crapshoot to me, although they're head and shoulders better than most of the rest of their division. So they'll probably still progress pretty well, but I don't know really what to make of the new administration in Seattle. I guess Darnold's playing pretty well, I would lean toward the Bucs here because I think they're still as unpredictable as maybe they are week to week, and they pulled out a couple of wins that could have gone the other way. But I still think the jury's out on Seattle, so I'd lean Tampa.
By the way, on the starting lineup this weekend, Philadelphia great Hugh Douglas will join us in the starting lineup. He's going to be joining us this Saturday morning from 10:30, 11 o'clock, talking everything Philadelphia Eagles. They're undefeated. The Eagles are just amazing. They're just a great, consistent football team. They get it done. It starts with their quarterback. Every time you look up, they're 4-0, 5-0, 6-0. They're winning games by 3-7 points, whatever it takes to get it done. Hugh Douglas, a guy with 80 sacks in his career, and of course, I had a chance to do some radio with him. He's going to join us coming up this weekend on the starting lineup. Gentlemen, thank you so much for everything you do. We'll be back again on Friday at 10 o'clock Central Time right here on K4 Wins. Of course, special thanks to Coastal Digital Sports Network for having us on Audacity. We're now on that. And, of course, everything that is Tony Curry Radio on everything, including our own YouTube channel. Check out K4 Wins and go to K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com for all of our plays, including Major League Baseball. Go Big Red Machine later on tonight. Catch them plus a buck 70 against the Dodgers. They'll get the first one under their back, and I feel like they're going to have a shot to win the short series, although Kai's got the Dodgers minus a game and a half. We'll see if the sweep's on. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.